Welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank. Real people, real solutions right here. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. It's time for Two Tone Blue at 8, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. We go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in Stephen Holder from The Athletic, covers the NFL and the Colts as well. Stephen, what's going on, man? How we doing?
Doing well. Just trying to stay a little warm. You know, it feels like winter. I don't know what's going on.
I don't know what's going on either. I'm over it, though. I can tell you that. That's for sure. So, Stephen, what's kind of your initial impressions of this matchup for the Titans coming up on Saturday against the Bengals? What do you think of the Titans-Bengals matchup and Joe Burrow and company coming into Nashville?
I think it's an interesting matchup because I think it's a matchup with contrasting styles. So I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out. Look, I'm not trying to oversimplify what the Titans are, but I do think they definitely have a throwback style, which I kind of like actually, and I think they're a little bit of a test case in today's age of football. Right? They've been pretty successful with that. It's not to say they don't throw the football. Obviously, that's not true, but certainly if Derrick Henry's coming back, and even while he's been gone, they definitely play a different brand of football. I have always felt strongly that they take on more than any team, really, take on the personality of their head coach. And just, you know, the way Mike Vrabel played, I think, is how his team plays, you know. And I've always respected that about them. And so anyway, I guess what I'm saying is that I'm interested to see how this goes because you have that style, a very physical style of football, which is not to say the Bengals can't play a physical brand, and definitely they have a running back who can run some power of his own, but they are definitely a team that's trying to push the ball down the field and spread the field and stretch you out. So I'm just really curious to see how that works out, and there's no right or wrong way, you know, and I think this is an interesting matchup for that reason.
And Stephen, I want to go back to the playoffs, but first I got to ask you about the Colts. The Titans Nation is very much enjoying what happened to the Colts down the stretch. they're reveling in it. I was stunned. I thought the Colts were certainly going to get in. I thought that they were going to be a really dangerous team, kind of like the Niners are in the NFC. And obviously, I can't understand, especially the Jacksonville game, but what is the state of this franchise right now? And where are you on, you know, on the two key figures in Ballard and Reich at this point?
Right. So I would say to start, this has been a weird year in the NFL where you had some teams go through some weird stretches. So I take, for example, the Chiefs and the way they started, right? And there was a point this year where the Bills looked like they were done. And I was like, in fact, the lowest point was when the Colts went to Buffalo and basically wiped the floor with the Bills. And so there's other examples as well. But what I'm saying is most of the good teams, they got through it, and then they came out on the other side. You know, at least generally that's how it happens. The 49ers are a great example of that, I think. You know, that was a team that the Colts – beat on the road very handily in midseason. So the Colts, for whatever reason, though, it seems like they had three different stages of their season. They started out poorly. You saw them early on. They were sort of beset by injuries, including Carson Wentz. Then they got it together, and they were rolling, and they got their steam. They got some steam behind them, and then they fell apart at the end again. So I think there's kind of an identity crisis. To some extent, I still think they're a pretty good team, but it just goes to show you, man. I mean, you've got it's about sustaining it, and it's about consistency. The teams that are more consistent usually end up being the teams that come through in the end. The Colts didn't do that, and honestly, I think it's oversimplifying it to say, oh, the passing game wasn't good enough. You know, Carson Wentz certainly wasn't, but I think that oversimplifies it. I don't think that's the absolute reason they fell apart in Jacksonville. I mean, if you look at the offensive line, they performed. That was their worst game of the season. I thought the defense and its inability to get off the field in Jacksonville just completely mystifying. And that was Jacksonville's best offensive performance of the season. I mean, just none of it adds up. I don't know. I don't know if they maybe let up. I think that's one explanation. Got too comfortable, you know, started reading their press clippings. I don't know. Maybe it's a combination of all of it. COVID was definitely their timing with COVID was definitely poor. But look, no, I don't think any of these things single-handedly explains it, and that's why they're just at a loss. So, and to your question about the leadership of the team, I do think that Frank Reich and Chris Ballard, one thing I would say is that I don't think they're going to overreact, but I do think that they will change some things. I don't mean personnel necessarily, but I think you'll see a different posture, you know, from this team, you know, be it in free agency or just how they attack certain positions and how they view certain players. I think they have to not leave this to chance, because next year is a big year for the Colts, and this can't happen again. It cannot happen again. Absolutely not.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And Stephen, I must say, one of my great forms of entertainment over the course of the last couple of weeks has been watching the replies to your Twitter feed. It's always just very fascinating to watch that take place. But I say that to say,
let me tell you, they are definitely motivated right now.
Oh yeah!
Don't you dare tweet about Carson Wentz, because your mentions will not stop.
Well, that's where I was going with this, because obviously there's a lot of impassioned opinions on Carson Wentz. I guess, how do you view the Carson Wentz situation right now in Indianapolis, and is there any chance he's not the starter next year for the Colts?
So I think that I'll start from the very beginning with the trade, because I think it's very easy to say, oh, told you, we knew this was going to happen. Okay, I get why that's a response for some people. I still think they did the right thing, because what was the alternative, right? Phillip Rivers retired. You had no quarterback. You did not have a very well-positioned first-round pick. They didn't have great options. They had to try something of consequence. And I think getting a guy who had been in the MVP conversation not that long ago with this same head coach as his offensive coordinator in Philadelphia, I mean, it made a lot of sense. It wasn't like this wasn't well thought out and this wasn't something that was calculated. I understand why they did what they did, and I actually still think that it was right to try it. Now, you can't argue at this point that it was a success, and that's the problem. The question is, can it get better? Now, I think part of the problem with Carson Wentz is that he kind of is what he is. I mean, he's almost 30 years old, right? So what are we talking about? Are we talking about a guy who's going to develop into something different? I don't know. I mean, you know, I think we look at the success that Matt Stafford has had in L.A. this year, and maybe you can point to that, but I think that's a very different situation. I mean, Matthew Stafford was certainly a very high-level quarterback for many years. I think there were questions about the team around him, certainly, and some questions about him. But now that he's in a better situation, they're getting better production out of him and more efficient play. So I think that was more about the team. Carson Wentz, that wasn't the issue. I mean, there were some issues with that Philadelphia team, but clearly he had issues, right? He clearly had issues in Philadelphia. Now, one thing I would say is that they definitely got a better version of Carson Wentz despite how it ended. The way it ended was just god-awful. I can't excuse it. But they did. Over the course of the entire season, they got a better version than the 2020 version of Carson Wentz, but I don't know if that's enough is the problem. Now, when you ask me, is there any chance he's not back, I would say this. Financially, from an economics standpoint, this can actually they actually have options. Carson Wentz is due, I believe it's $20 million, about $18 million or so, for this year. I'm sorry, $15 million right now. $15 million right now is what they're on the hook for. They can cut him before March 19th, and that's all the dead money they owe. So, I mean, that's more than half what the Eagles took on when they cut him. So, I mean, it's, and their salary cap situation is fantastic. they're actually going to be fine. They, if they cut him, they actually have a savings of $13 million. They're going to be over $60 million in cap space if they cut Carson Wentz. So great, cut him. Okay, but then what? That's the question. So this will be driven by what's available to them, not by the money. The money won't be the issue. What's going to govern the future of the quarterback situation is what the Colts can do to replace Carson Wentz, if in fact that's what they want to do.
It's going to be fascinating. As for the this weekend, Steven, I think that, you know, we would all agree it was a little bit underwhelming. We had too many blowouts, not enough good games. I feel like the payoff comes this week for NFL fans. Which game excites you the most? I know you're going to be here in Nashville for Titans-Bengals, but of these four games, which do you think is the best one?
I tell you, the NFC is really interesting, certainly, but I actually think the Bills-Chiefs game, I mean, to me, that's really your, you know, potentially, I mean, if you would have told me at the beginning of the season you're going to get Bills and Chiefs in the AFC Championship game, you probably would have said, hey, let's do it, right? And so I just think that's a great second-round matchup, just a great second-round matchup. And I really think that you've got two of the biggest stars, two of the best quarterbacks. Josh Allen's performance last week, he is just, I mean, I talked about consistency earlier, and he hasn't been consistent this year, and that's been maybe the knock on him. But when he's been on, he has been fantastic. I think back to even that Tampa Bay game that they lost down in Tampa. I thought that was just an incredible individual effort by Josh Allen. And then you have the Chiefs, who have just rounded into just a real powerhouse right now after a really concerning start. So I think that game is going to tell us something about both of those teams. And really, I just think the AFC Championship game is going to be fascinating too, whoever it is. I think that matchup is going to be just a really intriguing matchup, because you're going to have – I think you have the four best teams in the conference right now still alive in the AFC. So I'm looking forward to the next couple of weeks for sure.
Stephen Holder from The Athletic has been our guest for Two Tone Blue at 8, presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic Smile LASIK and Hair Restoration. Stephen, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and looking forward to having you in town this weekend.
All right, looking forward to it. See you then.
Absolutely. Stephen Holder, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Our Two Tone Blue at 8 segment presented by Mercedes-Benz of Music City, Hard Rock Cafe, Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical, and Toyos Clinic, Smile LASIK, and Hair Restoration. We'll come back and react a little bit to what Stephen had to say there. Take your thoughts as well on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Attention men, have you been struggling with erectile dysfunction? Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough treatment for ED that does not require any pills, injections, or surgery. And right now, my friend Andrew joins me from Hillside Medical Clinic to tell us all about it. What's going on, Andrew?
Hello there. That's right, guys. Valentine's Day is approaching, and there's a lot of guys struggling with erectile dysfunction, frustrated in the bedroom, noticing that performance isn't what it used to be. Well, Hillside Medical Clinic has a breakthrough. It's called wave therapy. It delivers very gentle pressure waves into the blood vessels, which causes them to open up and regrow. Clinically proven to improve circulation enough, we can get rid of the ED, we don't use a pill, and there are no side effects.
So, Andrew, what kinds of clinical studies have been done on this wave therapy technology?
Well, that is what is so great, is this isn't a theory, guys. This is heavily proven and vetted technology. Even Cambridge University studied our technology along with some of the biggest hospitals in America. They said it works, it's safe, it's effective, and even it's the new standard of care for erectile dysfunction.
And Andrew, you've got a special offer for our listeners. Call in right now.
We certainly do. If you're ready to regain your love life, guys, or just improve things, we do a lot of that, call us now. The exam, assessment, even the blood flow ultrasound will be totally free, plus a gift that's worth the trip. Trust me, it produces immediate results in the bedroom. This is worth hundreds of dollars. Call us now. It is totally no charge.
That's right, guys. You can put a stop to your erectile dysfunction by treating the root cause of the problem. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now to qualify for that offer at 615-576-5000. That's 615-576-5000. Put a stop to your ED and regain your love life today. Call Hillside Medical Clinic right now at 615-576-5000. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by the Law Offices of Amanda Gentry. We are live from the Hillside Medical Game Studio here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Thanks to Stephen Holder from The Athletic for joining us in the last segment. We'll have Gentry Estes from The Tennessean coming up here in about 10 minutes to look ahead at the Titans and the Bengals. Joe Rexrod, what did you think of Stephen Holder's thoughts there on the Carson Wentz situation and what the quarterback position may or may not look like next year for Indianapolis?
Yeah, it's interesting. I totally agree with his assessment. That wasn't 2020 Carson Wentz. There were some good games, some good wins. I mean, it is amazing when you think back to, like, that Buffalo win. I mean, there was some dirt being shoveled on the Bills' grave. You weren't the only one. I mean, they looked awful, and the Colts looked so good. They beat the Patriots. You know, they go win it. There was a lot of – they go win at Arizona. They win it. I mean, they had a lot of huge wins to even get themselves back into the discussion. And then all of a sudden, it's like, oh, not only are they going to make the playoffs, like, they're dangerous in the playoffs. And then what – I mean, that's – of all the crazy results in – the NFL this year, I have to think that that loss with everything at stake has to be number one. It has to be. And so I agree with the assessment. Wentz was good for a lot of the year. He's talented. He wasn't 2020 Wentz, but do you feel great about him being the answer next year? I don't think you can feel great about it. The problem is, as he pointed out, okay, they got plenty of money. Chris Ballard, part of the praise for Chris Ballard is he's got all this cap space. He doesn't overspend. I would say, you know what? If I'm a Colts fan, go ahead and spend some money, dude.
Yeah.
Let's get a little better. But what is he going to do? What are the options? I mean, if it's not Rodgers or Russ, then what's your move that makes you feel better for sure about Wentz? That's the sobering reality.
I don't know. Is there any chance you can get Deshaun Watson from the Texans?
Yeah, there's the Watson thing. I don't know.
I mean, surely the Texans are not trading Deshaun Watson to the Colts, right? You're not going in the division with him.
Well, I wouldn't think so, but surely they're not going to fire a coach after 1 year.
Well,
you know, surely they're not going to do all the stupid crap they've done. But, yeah, probably not.
I don't know. It's a really interesting situation that they're in. I look at their team and I think to myself, like, the wide receiver group is just, it's not impressive. I feel like in today's NFL, you need to have a couple guys at wide receiver that could just be big difference makers for you. I like Michael Pittman Jr. I think he's a good player. Like, to me, I think you need somebody a little bit higher of a level than him, or at least somebody that can go along with him. Like, I just... You know, we talk about the quarterback part of this. You know, Wentz certainly made some throws where you're just like, man, good gracious, what is he doing out there? But it'd be nice if you had some wide receivers out there that were pretty good to help him as well. And I don't know. I just look at that Colts group at wide receiver and I think to myself, yeah, not great, bud.
Yeah, no, if you're a Carson Wentz stan all the way, then that's you're gonna say, well, who's he throwing to? And it's fair. I like Pittman, but they've got to improve that. I mean, look, again, last summer when the Titans made the move to get Julio Jones, I remember saying, like, Chris Ballard, were you not interested in this? But, you know, of course, we've seen that Julio Jones has not been what he was cracked up to be. So I don't know how much that would have mattered to them, but they got to address that for sure. Because I do think that they still have a good lineup, but another mistake that I think Ballard made was not keeping Danico Autry.
Yeah.
I mean, I think his loss has diminished their pass rush to some extent, and it has certainly helped the Titans pass rush team in their own division. So it's not like, I mean, it's not like they don't have other holes. They have a good roster, not a great one. But of course they do have the greatest running back of all time.
So well, they do.
They got that going for them. That was sarcasm. Sarcasm, everybody. He's very good, though.
Indy Ben on the text line says, in response to the Colts, Stephen Holder laid it out pretty well as to the mystifying collapse against Jacksonville. I would add that Frank Reich somewhat plagued the team throughout the season with his poor play calling and sometimes poor preparation for games. The Colts and the Titans are very similarly built teams, and the main difference between the two is top-notch head coaching in Nashville and questionable head coaching in Indy. This coming from our friend Indy Ben on the text line.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah, I mean, look, I feel differently about Wright now than I did before this season, because at some point, again, and that's on, based on one game. Because, like when the Titans won in Indy, I did think that day the Titans did a good job on Jonathan Taylor, but I didn't think that the Colts gave them enough of a chance to not do as good a job. I think they should have run him more, and there were other games where they should have run him more. Although I think Steven does a good job. If you follow Steven Holder, great follow on Twitter, he does a good job of kind of talking through these things. And there was one game, I think it was against the Bucks, where like when they threw however many times in a row, but it was working, you know, and until you had the killer turnover. But yeah, the Reich thing is definitely interesting. I've always thought a lot about him as a coach. How do you explain the Jacksonville game? And also my question would be, are Titans fans enjoying this enough? Are they? I know it's the playoffs and it's a big game in Derrick Henry, but don't, you know, make sure you take some time out of your day to enjoy this as well.
You know what they need to do? They need to watch the first episode of Hard Knocks. I was just telling Robbie.
That's right.
The first episode, Frank Reich is like, we need to dominate this division. The AFC South is ours. That's the only thing that matters. That'll make Titans fans very, very happy.
Worked out well. Good stuff from Frank Reich. Hey.
I gotta say, Michelle, it sounds interesting. I will not watch a second of that. I just
why?
I don't have time. I mean, I'm like, we're trying to like watch The Wire.
He's getting in Twitter, you know, spaces.
Katie and Jack and I are trying to watch The Wire. Like, I mean, you know, there you got Ozark's coming back. Yep. But like the fact that you're going back to watch Hard Knocks, like that's interesting.
Why?
Are you I don't know. Like, are you just totally reveling in their misery? Like, you know,
no, it's not even that. I mean, I covered them.
God, you imagine if the Bills were in Hard Knocks?
Oh, I would.
Yeah,
I would
you've got
that.
Some. Yeah, you've got some good feelings for them. So,
to be honest, I'm very picky with shows. I don't do the whole Ozark thing. I don't do any of the Breaking Bad or any of that.
Well, you should be less picky on that stuff.
Josh on the text line says, "Woo." Glad to hear from Indy Ben. Nice to know he's coming out of his misery just in time to see the Titans advance this weekend. Thank you, Josh. It is good to hear from our friend Indy Ben.
Well, thank you for participating, Indy Ben, and understand you're going to take some crap.
When we come back, we'll be joined by our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee, and we'll get his thoughts on the Titans and the Bengals coming up this weekend at Nissan Stadium. We'll get to that coming up next. Let me tell you about my friends at Jasper's. Jasper's is a casual restaurant and bar located on West End Avenue, equipped with TVs, a game room available for private events, a grab-and-go market, and free parking. Yep, free parking. We know what a big deal that is downtown. Really a great spot over at Jasper's. This neighborhood spot is Nashville's new go-to restaurant and bar. You can try their selection of elevated bar food, ranging from appetizers to chicken sandwiches to great flatbread pizzas and the famous Smash Burger, as well as any of their delicious cocktails. So visit my friends at Jasper's, located at 1918 West End Avenue. Once again, that's 1918 West End Avenue, and tell them that Robbie Stanley sent you. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Volunteer State Bank, conveniently serving Middle Tennessee with 13 locations. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road and Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Thursday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Looking ahead to the Titans and the Bengals coming up on Saturday at Nissan Stadium. Taking your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. 1025. We go to our 1025 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in our friend Gentry Estes from the Tennessee. And Gentry, what's going on, brother? How are we doing?
Hey, good morning. Good to be with you guys.
Good to have you with us. So, Gentry, just your initial thoughts on the matchup for the Titans against the Bengals. What are a couple of things you're looking at this matchup for the Titans to get out of there with a win and advance to the AFC title game?
Yeah, I think I've felt like this is a good matchup for the Titans. I when you watch the Bengals play the Raiders this last weekend, I know the Bengals' run defense numbers have been good this year, but and they got banged up during that wild card game, but it just seemed like the Raiders had a good day running the ball. Josh Jacobs had a lot of room to navigate up front, and you're watching this and you're thinking, well, what are the Titans going to be able to do with that? Especially with Derrick Henry back. That's kind of number one. I also think that, you know, since he despite having a very explosive offense and a quarterback who I believe is going to be a superstar in this league and is starting to show that, they've really struggled in pass protection this year. And I think, as everybody remembers, that game last year in Cincinnati, the Titans didn't get a sack. They were going against a banged-up offensive line that struggled with pass protection then, too. And I think this is going to be a lot different. I think this is going to be a game that shows how much the Titans have been able to grow in that area in terms of making a quarterback uncomfortable. And I think this could easily, to me, set up as a formula in a game that we've seen the Titans use a lot to win games, which is get a lead, be able to run the ball, and then make the other team get predictable and have to throw and be able to get to the quarterback doing it.
So on the Derrick Henry front, Gentry, if you were, you know, Vrabel Downing trying to navigate this game, are you going to this game thinking, okay, 22 is available, 22 is going to be 22, or do you have any sort of ramp up plan or split plan with Foreman? How would you approach that?
To me, he's either healthy or he's not. If he's healthy enough to play, I'd play him. You know, this is one of those things. I mean, maybe you go into this with the idea of a pitch count or this and that, but we all know if this thing's close in the fourth quarter and you need Derrick Henry on the field, you're going to put Derrick Henry on the field. I don't think, unless there's some sort of setback with his foot or, you know, some reason, I don't think the plan's really going to matter here. I think we're going to see a lot of Derrick Henry, and I think if he's healthy enough to play, he should be healthy enough to do that, in my opinion. You heard about you play him in Houston and you play him a little bit just to dip your toe in the water, and that didn't make any sense to me. He's either healthy or he's not.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Gentry, how much pressure in your mind is on Ryan Tannehill heading into this postseason? Obviously, he's one of the few guys all year that stayed healthy on this roster, had an up-and-down season. I think played much better the last 10 quarters or so when you get A.J. Brown back and your offensive line back and Julio Jones, all these different pieces. How much pressure in your mind is on Ryan Tannehill heading into this postseason?
Well, I think there would have been anyway because of what happened against the Ravens last year. It wasn't a very good game for Tannehill. I think everybody remembers that. So I think that was always kind of the knock going into this season anyway. Then you have a season that I think most people would agree is been a step back from what we had seen from Tannehill the first couple of years in Tennessee. Now, there are reasons for that, obviously, with the surrounding cast and some of the injuries on offense, but they're all healthy now. You look at everything. I mean, this is as healthy as the Titans have been all season when you look at what they're going to be able to have out there. So I don't think it's too much to expect an offense that's going to be hitting on all cylinders a little bit better than it has been because of the surrounding cast. There really is no reason to think that's not going to happen. And obviously, you know, Tannehill is going to be the one driving that.
Well, I agree. And I also think that Todd Downing is a key figure here. I think Todd Downing's been pretty good this year. I think he's been fine. I think you have to, it's just like with Tannehill. I mean, look at all the challenges he's faced, challenges that I would say go beyond like the norm, you know, for a given season for an offensive coordinator. But I also, Gentry, just, you know, I feel like we've seen a difference between Arthur Smith and Todd Downing. What do you think of the year he had, and where does he rank for you on the, you know, guys under pressure going into this game?
Yeah, that's a good question, Joe, because going into this season, I really had a lot of questions about that move, just because you were promoting a guy in Todd Downing. Not only is it going to be difficult to replace Arthur Smith with the job he did, but you're promoting a guy who had fared poorly as an OC, really poorly. It was a similar situation with the Raiders, who had been a playoff team. Then he gets into the OC spot. The offense is terrible. The team's terrible. Everybody gets fired. So it was hard to be confident in what Todd Downing was going to do this season because we hadn't seen it. The only time he'd been an OC, it didn't go well. So by that standard, I've been pleasantly surprised with Todd Downing. I think he's had a good year, especially given all that they've gone through offensively, that they've really had to piece together a cohesive offense without much there for a while. I mean, there were games like the one in New England where it's just kind of a joke. Like, there's no chance, they have no chance to go up there and be able to win that game with missing some of the pieces they did in that game and there for a while, for about a month, really. So given that, I think he's done pretty well. Maybe not as good as Arthur Smith, but if you think back, Arthur Smith's first year, I'd say the first half of his first season as OC, he was still figuring it out. There was a stretch where, you know, it was almost like after they lost to Carolina, he figured out, hey, why don't we just give the ball to Derrick Henry every play and see what, you know, I mean, and as soon as they started doing that, things started working. And I think that's what Todd Downing was doing until Derrick Henry got hurt. And since then, I think he's done okay trying to piece it together.
Gentry, how much of this game in your mind is going to come down to the pass rush that Bud Dupree and Harold Landry, Nenico Autry, Jeffrey Simmons can generate on their own?
To me, that's the game. I think the front four, again, I think that's, if you're looking at what happened last season in Cincinnati to where the Titans are right now, the biggest difference are those four guys and what they've been able to do to generate a pass rush. The defense has been completely different because they've been able to do that this year. And I think you're talking, the Bengals still struggle on pass pro. They've given up the third most sacks of any team in the NFL this year. And if you look at it there, I think they're giving up maybe two sacks a game when they win and about four or five sacks a game when they lose. So if you're looking at a good number, I think, to gauge how this game's going to go, it's how often the Titans get the bro. And I think they're going to be able to do it. I think this is a unit that's proven when everyone's out there and ready to go, which they're going to be, that they can be very, very formidable up front. And I think the Titans' strengths on both lines of scrimmage could be very big in this game.
What's your sense, Gentry, for this team, just psychologically overall? One seed, so there's always you got a team that had to win to get in. Maybe it has a little rhythm, and sometimes we see the one seed maybe start slow at home. I think these guys feed off any sort of disrespect, and there's plenty of talk out there about Bills Chiefs being the de facto AFC title game. Like, where do you think this team is in terms of confidence versus overconfidence and, you know, being able to seize this opportunity?
I think they're where you should be. I mean, they do always feed off disrespect. They look for it, and usually they don't have to look very hard to find it. I mean, like you say, it is kind of amazing that we're sitting here talking about the number one seed in the AFC just came off a bye week, you know, going to have home field advantage through the playoffs. And, yeah, they're still viewed, odds makers, I think, third best in the AFC right now in terms of, you know, out of the four teams. ESPN's power rankings right now, I think, have the Titans 13th in the NFL. Looks like that, which sounds bad until you notice. I think the Bengals are 14th. So I actually think, you know, as much as the advanced metrics don't like the Titans, they don't like the Bengals much either. So it's like you got to figure out, you know, if you're a Titans fan, you're like, wow, we don't care about that. That doesn't mean anything. And you look at the Bengals, they're like, well, they're no good either. That actually could benefit the Titans. But no, I think, yeah, you're right. I think most people are looking at Bills Chiefs as okay, that could be a bridge too far, and I have to believe the Titans are using that. They always use that. And it works for them. That's a team that for years now has fed off that. They certainly did in the playoff run 2 years ago.
Gentry Estes from the Tennessean has been our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road. Gentry, really appreciate you taking time to join us this morning, and looking forward to this one coming up on Saturday. Should be a big day here in Nashville.
Yeah, you bet. Take care, guys.
Absolutely. Gentry Estes does a great job covering all things local sports here for the Tennessean. When we come back, it is time for Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Predators in action tonight, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Be the first caller at 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. The first caller will have a chance to guess a goal scorer for the Preds tonight. If you get it right, you'll win a pair of tickets to a future Nashville Predators home game. We'll get to that coming up on the other side. Wins mean so much more this time of year in the NFL playoffs. That's why FanDuel Sportsbook is hooking up new customers with 30-1 enhanced odds for the divisional round. That means you can place a $5 bet on any team to win in the divisional round and win $150. I like the Packers to take down the 49ers on the money line, but you take it any way you want to take it. Just sign up for FanDuel Sportsbook and make a deposit to claim your 30-1 enhanced odds. I love betting FanDuel in the NFL playoffs because it's easy to use safe and secure. And when you win, FanDuel will pay you in as little as 2 hours. So don't miss out on winning $150 on a $5 bet when you use promo code ROB when signing up. Once again, that promo code is ROB. You must be 21 or older and present in Tennessee. New users only, a $10 first deposit required. Must wager in designated offer market, a max bonus of $150. Bonus for Tennessee users fulfilled in site credit within 72 hours. Tennessee site credit expires 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Got a gambling problem? Call the Tennessee Red Line at 1-800-889-9789. And it is that time of the day, time for Preds Pick to Click here on Robbie and Rex Road, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. The Nashville Predators in action tonight at home at Bridgestone Arena, taking on the Winnipeg Jets. Puck drop at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6 o'clock here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And the standings in Preds Pick to Click are as such. The listeners have taken the lead in the competition. 10 correct answers. Joe Rex Road now in second place with 9 correct answers in the competition. Robbie with 7, Michelle with 4. Nobody got it right last game. Philip Tomasino, the lone goal scorer for the Nashville Predators. So with that in mind, let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and welcome in David from Nolensville, who is today's participant. David, thanks for calling into Robbie and Rex Road.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. So, David, who is your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators?
Let's go with Forsberg, and I think that should be the de facto guest from now on for all listener call-ins.
Yeah, just Forsberg every single time. May not be a bad strategy.
I disagree.
It may not be the bad one.
I think Matt Benning should be the, like, for a month straight.
David, we appreciate you calling in.
That was a bad one.
Hey, I mean, it almost worked.
Got an own goal. Yeah.
That's right. Appreciate Thanks, you, David. So Forsberg is off the board, Joe Rexroad. Not surprising. Been a pretty popular pick in the competition. Michelle Knezovic, you were up first today in the competition. Forsberg off the board. You were picked to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
I just need to say something really quick, Robbie. It's so funny when you say who's first and you just look at Joe's face on the Zoom and he's like, ugh, I'm
There's
not
a lot of
first.
Pain there. A lot of pain.
I'm going to go with Matt Duchene tonight. I'm just going to keep picking him if I can. Sorry, Ryan Johansson. Honestly, every time I don't pick Ryan, he scores. So it's like, I can't win.
Matt Duchene, the selection by Michelle Knezovic. Give me Mikhail Granlund, friend of the show, on the show yesterday. I think he puts one in the back of the net tonight. He's only got 5 goals this year. He's racking up the assists. But I got a gut feeling that Granlund finds the back of the net tonight. So I will go Granlund in the competition. So Forsberg, Duchene, and Granlund are off the board. Joe Rexroad, your pick to click tonight for the Nashville Predators.
Man, this is tough. You know, what was my lead at one point? Like 9-4 over the listeners or something
that is correct.
Like that, right? Yeah, 6 straight, man. You know, I feel like Yossi at some point, you know, like he should be mad every day fuming that he's not an all-star, which is
incredible.
An exposure of like how they do. I mean, this is so dumb that he's not an all-star. So he'd be someone that you could think of. But I think I'm going to go with one of the forwards who, you know, Trennan has been scoring. You always got Tanner Jeannot. I could go through the whole lineup if you'd like.
That's what you typically do in this segment. It's like talking yourself into a pick.
Well, that's why you should let me have the first pick, and then it'll be easy. Give me Luke Cunning. I'm going to go Luke Cunning.
I like it. A little bit off the board with Luke Cunning. So the selection to today's edition of Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Philip Forsberg from David from Nolensville. Michelle going with Matt Duchene. Robbie Stanley, myself, taking Mikhail Granlund. And Joe going with Luke Cunning. So no Ryan Johansson in the competition today. Michelle has moved away from the Ryan Johansson train. Just going back with Duchene.
Now he's going to go on
Ryan
a heater.
Yeah.
Now he's going to go on a heater. Just what happens here.
I like it. Good stuff. This has been Preds Pick to Click, brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Big one for the Preds tonight. Want to end that 4-game losing streak, get back in the winning ways. We'll see if they're able to do that tonight against the Winnipeg Jets. Dennis on our text line has pointed out that my buddy Mayer, who I went to high school has made like a Titans rap heading into the playoffs. We'll have to play this at some point here, either sometime later today or tomorrow. But shout out to my guy Mayer, Hendersonville High School legend.
I've just been listening to some of it, and it's pretty freaking awesome, I must say. And the line that Dennis, the line that Dennis referenced, Colts couldn't beat Trevor, still got to pay Wentz. Worst one seed ever? God, make it make sense.
Yeah.
And that is poetry.
Yeah, man.
So, Mayer. Okay, so Mayer, you went to high school with him. Is like in high school, was he a one-word? He was like Madonna?
No, I know his real name.
One-word person?
No, I know his real name. I'm just not going to expose his real name for the masses.
We need to get Mayer on here for a live performance of this rap.
Yeah, you can find him. I know exactly where Mayer is. You can find Mayer at all times. He'll be in the parking lot. If you want to find him, he'll be in parking lot R coming up this weekend. I guarantee it.
I'll tell you what. I've been turned on to, you know, I don't like a lot of new music. But
Joe.
Oh yeah, anything after 96 is dead to Joe.
But I like some Mayer. I might have a new artist to follow.
Hey, I'm all for it. Love me some Mayer here on the program. Check out his song. I think it's called Reloaded, is what it's called. So good stuff for the Titans heading into the matchup against the Bengals.
I was like halfway through it when this segment started, but I was jamming out to it. It's pretty good.
Yeah, pretty good stuff. So we'll see if Mayer has maybe a live performance coming up. I think he did one like outside of Arrowhead when the Titans played the Chiefs. He was like under somebody's tailgate tent just rapping away. It's good stuff.
And does he always rap about the Titans?
No, not always, but he does love him some Tennessee Titans football.
Nice, nice. By the way, I like plenty of stuff from the 21st century, so... Just take it.
Maybe we could
there.
Get you love AirPods, Joe. Maybe we could get him to make a Robbie and Rex Road rap.
Maybe so. I mean, I feel like I should have some pull there. So we'll see what we can do on that front.
Yes. A new theme song.
Yeah, maybe so. Let's go to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Donovan texting in says, FYI, ESPN NFL power rankings have the Titans at number 5, not at number 13. They did have the Titans, I think, at number 13 after the regular season, heading into the playoffs.
Yeah, right. So they've moved up. Why did they move up so much by doing nothing?
I mean, it'd be pretty difficult to have a number 13 now, considering there are 8 teams left in the playoffs, and they're one of them. But, hey, whatever.
Hey, I promise you there are still some people who have the Colts like 6. So, yeah. You know.
Oh, boy. Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, the only reason the Colts and Titans went to overtime in Indy this year was due to about 6 or 7 Hail Mary pass interference calls. Wentz and Taylor didn't wow. Wentz just did what was working that were Hail Marys, throwing up those pass interference calls. So not a believer in the Colts.
Well, that's true. That was after his horrific pick
to
Molden. Now, if you go back through other portions of that game, he had success throwing the ball against the Titans, and they scored some touchdowns in that game. But, yes, at the end, that was I thought that was going to be a devastating loss for the Titans. You know, when you get that pick in the end zone, and then you give up the PIs, and they misplayed some of that stuff late. But then Kevin Byard saved the day, / Carson Wentz threw away the day. However you want to look at it.
Hey, I just want to point out, and I don't think we talked about this to close out the year. The Jacksonville Jaguars, their 3 wins this season. Miami Dolphins, pretty good team in the AFC. Buffalo Bills, still alive, may go to the Super Bowl this year. And the Colts, 9-8. Watch out for those Dolphins, or excuse me, those Jags coming up. Trevor Lawrence getting it done.
I tell you what, no. I mean, they beat the Bills. That is the incredible thing about the Bills. They came in here, they just totally trashed the Chiefs. They looked awesome. They looked awesome here. The Titans beat them in a great game. Then they have results like 9-6 losing to the Jags or getting blown out at home by the Colts. You know, the Patriots don't throw the ball at all and beat them, but here they are.
Well, I mean,
it's been an amazing year. Like Stephen Holder said earlier, like a lot of these teams have come through at the end.
Well,
but not the Colts.
Both the teams that you're going to see on the field on Saturday at Nissan Stadium have gotten beat by the Jets this year. So keep that in mind.
This is true. This is a very good point. Yes. So maybe we need to give the Jets some more respect too.
Maybe so.
They actually turned out to be like not the most dog watery team by the end.
No.
Yeah, they had the Bucks for a while.
Yeah.
They were hanging in there.
I think you could give that honor maybe to the other New York team. They might be the worst.
Giants are so bad.
They're pretty bad.
New Jersey, Robbie.
Yeah. Guess technically both. You hate to see it. Shout out to Derek Dooley and Jeremy Pruitt.
Yeah.
Hope they land on their feet.
Well, I'm sure I know where one of them will be next fall.
Bama.
Like one way or the other, Jay Prue is coming back to Tuscaloosa, right? He's got to be.
I'd say there's probably a pretty good chance. Where's Dooley going? Offensive coordinator at Tennessee?
I don't think that's an open position, but I don't think it is either.
I'm
sure they could find him an internship.
Make some room for him. Talk about shower etiquette out there in Knoxville. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation on the Titans. Welcome more of your thoughts on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. What is our confidence level in Julio Jones heading into this playoff run for the Titans? We'll get into that coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.